Time of praise, eh? Yeah. You know, I was just sitting there at the back and I said, thank the Lord, you know, that at His way we have a balanced diet in terms of our music and how we praise the Lord. I think today we were grooving, eh? We were grooving. And in some seasons we are worshiping. Amen. And so we thank the Lord for that. It was a wonderful time. Thank you, Okella, for preparing. I was also listening to David, and I said, hey, David, take it easy, Tiger. Especially the part when he says grumpy old. I said, oh. But yeah, it was a lovely message. Thanks, David. Are we ready for the word this morning? Yeah. I believe that we're going to be blessed this morning. The Lord is going to bless us. Can I just pray over the word? Lord, we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I welcome you and your house, Lord. I welcome your spirit and your house. I welcome how you want to manifest, Father. We come before you and we're here to hear your word, Father. We're here to listen to what you have for us. I pray over the meal today, Father. I pray that it be blessed, anointed, Father. I pray that it be a word, Father, that we all need, that we can eat and drink from, Lord. I pray against every worker of the enemy that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I cancel that spirit out of this house, and I bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So, family, today the title of our message is Forward Faith. Forward faith. Can you guys hear me? Awesome. Forward faith. And I believe that God really wants to talk to us. He's been talking to us this whole year. And a lot of messages have been coming from Him around healing, around what is rightfully ours, how to possess the promises. And last week we shared a message on healing. I believe it was a wonderful word, and I think there was just such an awesome grace that took place here. I don't know if you all felt it last week, that we all have been given authority. We all have been given power. We've all, everything that the word says, we have it. It's not sitting with some person who has some kind of special anointing, but the God says we can lay hands on each other. And marvelous things will happen. And I feel like today's word is really speaking into that. So this morning I have a question for us, church. And the question is, do you believe that Jesus Christ has redeemed you? Do you believe that Jesus Christ has redeemed us as a church? Redeemed us in what aspect? In every aspect of your life. Do you believe He has? Think about it. Do you believe that Jesus Christ has redeemed you from the bondage of sin? Do you believe that Jesus Christ has redeemed you from the consequences of sin? Do you believe that Jesus Christ has redeemed you from the curse and the law of the law? I hear a lot of yeses. Praise the Lord. Do we believe that Jesus Christ has redeemed us from sicknesses and diseases? Do we believe? Do we believe that Jesus Christ has redeemed us from poverty? All kinds. Physical poverty, spiritual poverty. Take a moment, and I'd like you to just think about it. Think about all aspects of your life. Sometimes when we come to Christ, we think we believe in Christ. But Christ is not a Christ in one place, as we see in the Word. He's Alpha, He's Omega. He's everywhere, right? Where we are right now, He's everywhere in this world. So think about it for yourself and look internally and ask yourself, do I really believe that He's redeemed you? Are there areas in your life where you're experiencing this redemption? Is it just in one area? Or is it in every area? First Corinthians 1:30 reads, if we can have it on the screen, 1 Corinthians 1:30. God has united you with Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord for this. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom himself. He made him to be wisdom himself. So when we have Christ, we carry wisdom. So in every aspect of our lives, whatever we are dealing with, there's a solution, because wisdom is in us. Christ made us right with God. Amen. He made us right. We're never in the wrong. We're made right. And he made us pure and holy. There's no ways that we can produce pureness and holiness. We are sinners, as the word has shared with us. But here it says, with Christ, he makes us pure and he makes us holy. And he freed us from sin. Praise the Lord. So when we look at this scripture, we see a lot about redemption. We see that Christ has redeemed us in many areas. Consequences of sin, the law, poverty, sicknesses, diseases. And I want us to zone into this redemption. Because sometimes we throw this word loosely. I've been redeemed. But redeemed from what? So I went into the Bible and looked into what the word of redemption means and what, in Scripture, it depicts. Redemption means, in the word of God, deliverance from bondage. Deliverance from bondage, from slavery, or some other evil, by the payment of a price, and that is Christ. Amen. So I ask again, family, are there areas in your life where you're not experiencing or experiencing redemption? Think about it. These may be areas in your health. Amen. These may be areas in your finances. Are you experiencing redemption there? These may be areas in your relationships. Dave shared this morning about relationships, especially in this season. It's a season to come back together as family. Are you experiencing redemption in your soul? Where there's pain, where there's sorrow, where there's grief, where there's sadness. Are you? The church, I'm here to share with us that there's a sacrifice that was made. And God released his only son, Jesus Christ, to be the redemption on these areas. So that you and I can experience this tremendous joy and this dream that God has for us in this life. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served." Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Hey, hallelujah. I love this. It says the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve. He came for these different areas that where we are actually not experiencing this redemption. He came to serve in those areas and to give us his life as a ransom for many. Praise the Lord. Amen. I share about this redemption area because I want to bring it practically. Maybe share a bit of my story, my life. So I remember a time when we received a call, myself and my wife, we got a call. And it was this time of the season, December. And when the call came in, it was from one client of ours. And he called to say, "Hey, listen, the payment that you're expecting, I'm not going to release it this month. I'm going to release it sometime next year, February." Man, and then the call ended right there. And as we hung up the phone, my belief was jumping like a jumping castle. You know when you're in a jumping castle? You're bouncing up and down. It was all over. One moment, we believed what the other person on the side of the phone had spoken. The word that was declared, I'm not paying, we believed it. Because why? He's in this world. He's sitting in some department. He's the one releasing. You know, sometimes you see things practically in that way, in the physical. I think David was just sharing with us that we, because we've done things the same way for so many times in our lives, we end up just believing that this is the way things go. And so when someone of that nature speaks, one just starts to believe that this is the truth. Oh my word. And all of a sudden you start thinking what December then looks like. The people that you have to pay, and then at the end of the month, then you have nothing, and then everybody's having their ice creams and going on holidays, and you are just, you know, like a wet puppy sitting at home. Have you experienced this kind of belief in your life? Yeah? When someone has spoken and you say, this is the truth, and this is it, because this is how the world works. One moment you believe what you see, the next moment you stop and you believe the word of God. But Jesus, you're here. Eh? Monday you believe, Tuesday you no longer believe. Wednesday you believe, but Jesus again. Thursday, oh my word, month end is coming. Friday you believe, and then Sunday. But have you actually noticed that if we were to look at the 7 days and our belief system was like this, what really happens on Sunday? You haven't moved. You actually haven't moved at all. You're still where you were. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I want us to look at the scriptures on what happened to the disciples of God, disciples of Jesus Christ. This is not a word to condemn this one, but it's really for us to find practicality in it, that even the disciples were like this. The guys that actually walked with Jesus Christ himself, that could touch him, that could hold his hand, that could hear him speak face to face. They also experiencing this, right? This gives us some comfort to know that, okay, there were people like this. So let's open up Mark 9, verse 18 to 19. Mark 9, verse 18 to 19. Thank you, Jenny. And wherever it lays hold of him, so as to make him its own, it dashes him down and convulses him, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth, and he falls into a motionless stupor and is wasting away. And I asked your disciples to drive it out. To drive it out. And they were not able to do it. Verse 19. And he answered them, O unbelieving generation, without any faith, how long shall I have to do with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. Amen. So this is a scripture, just to give a bit of a backstory. So a man who seems to be possessed, is brought to the disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not there. They come and they bring him because they've heard about Jesus Christ, right? They've heard about the miracles. They've heard about this marvelous power of Christ. And they bring this person to the disciples, right? We know the story that says You know, when you are with a certain crowd, you become it, right? When you are with certain people, when you hang around certain people, the chances are you are like them. So they saw these disciples with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was not there, and they said, hey, let me bring these disciples to Christ. These disciples were like you and me, family. And the disciples could not drive the spirit out. They could not drive what was happening out from this person. This scripture describes a man with a demonic spirit, right? It says it dashes him down. It says it convulses him, meaning that there was no sign of redemption in this person at all. There was something that was controlling him. He was bound, he was oppressed, he was enslaved. Evil was operating upon him. Amen. But this scripture, when we look at it, family, we can also see a little bit more in this, that these spirits actually come not only in health, but they come in business. And they oppress your business. They come in your family, in your marriage. They oppress your marriage. They come in different aspects in our lives, where Christ says, I've given you redemption in every area. And this is the man that was brought. So what do we learn from this scripture? We see two things. When Jesus starts speaking, we see, one, walking a life without Christ. Without Christ, we are defeated. Without Christ, we will not be able to drive all these things that fight our lives without him. In the next area, we see the unbelief in Christ. The disciples were just like you and me, family. They're Christians. They were followers of Christ. But there was a problem. There was a problem in their belief system. Their belief was bankrupt. Their belief required deliverance. They were walking with Christ, like most of us we do. I know I do. I've just shared my story right now. Where I'm walking with Christ, I'm reading the word, I am in him. But the question is, do I believe? They were just like us, family. Followers of Christ. But when these things came, the reason why they could not be moved was because of unbelief. Amen. A friend of mine used to say, you cannot hang around the barber and not get a haircut. Yes, that's true. And so if you hang around the barber and you don't get a haircut, something's not right. It's either you don't trust this barber, eh? Trust the barber and his skills, or you don't trust yourself. Say with this with me, family. Lord, deliver me. Lord, free me from unbelief and faithlessness in all aspects of my life. In my finances, in my relationships, in my health, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So family, what keeps us from believing? I just want to go into scripture to see as well. The Israelites in Joshua 5:6. If we open it up, the Israelites had moved about in the wilderness for 40 years until all the men who were of military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land he had solemnly promised their ancestors to give us, a land flowing of milk and honey. We all know the story about the Israelites, family. They had an assignment, and they could have done it in a short period of time. But it took them such a long time. They were believing. They were in the Lord. They were walking with the Lord. But there was something wrong as well in their belief system. Many things, family, keeps us from believing. Faith, fear can be one of the reasons that keep us from believing the Lord. Worry can be another thing that keeps us from the Lord. Religiousness can keep us away from believing in the Lord. Doubt can do that as well. But here, I just want to highlight something that is practical that we can take home today with. A double-mindedness. The Israelites were double-minded. I just shared a story about saying, if you were to start on Monday believing, and Tuesday not believing, and Wednesday believing, and Thursday not believing, that is seen as double-mindedness. You know, what the Word of God says around my healing, do I hold on to that? And not go backwards and forwards, even when I'm experiencing pain. Dave shared with us about unforgiveness, that it's not an emotional thing, it's a decision that we make. When we have forgiven, does the next day when the person does the same thing move you backwards again from the Word of God? So doubt happens. And this causes us to go backwards and forwards in our faith in the Lord and in believing. I'm assuming that the disciples may have had double-mindedness. When someone was brought to them to say, deliver this, pray for this person that finances may take place, pray for this person that they may receive their healing. At times, I don't know about you, we do get into double-mindedness. I don't see anything happening to this person when I pray for them. Did the Lord really heal them? The Israelites had double-mindedness, and this prohibited them from enjoying the promises of God. It also delayed them from receiving from the Lord. When we are double-mindedness, family, we end up in delay from receiving our healing. We end up being delayed in receiving our breakthroughs in our finances, in our marriages as well, in our relationships. There becomes a delay because we trust Him, we believe Him, and in the next moment, not necessarily, because flesh kicks in, amen, reality kicks in, things, remembrance kicks in. You remember what this person has done. You remember the pain that you went through. Some have experienced disappointment. I'm no longer starting that business again, because you remember. When God calls us in His Word to say, move forward in faith. I delivered you from that situation. I have healed you. Move forward. And this is what we see with the Israelites. God had a promised land for them. God had healing for them. God had abundance for them. All these beautiful promises. But because of double-mindedness, this delayed them from reaching to this beautiful promise that the Lord had for them. This double-mindedness, family, comes for our promises. We have to watch out for it. It comes for our promises. It prohibits us from moving forward. It brings doubt in who God is. So what does the Lord call us to do, family, as believers? When we look at Paul's life, when we open 2 Timothy 4:7, beautiful scripture, it says, I have fought the good fight of faith. People think that we don't have to fight for faith. We have to fight to believe in what God has said. No matter how things are looking like around us, no matter when you're not seeing the bones come together, and hearing the cracks when you're praying for someone. Lord says, fight the good faith. I fought the good faith. I have finished the race. my race in believing Christ, my race in holding on to his promises, no matter what. And I have kept the faith. So this faith has not been lost. It was not stolen by the enemy, but of the things that he keeps planting and making us to remember the old land of onions and peppers and garlic, as the Israelites were remembering. We have to fight and keep this faith to move forward. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so today, I don't know who I'm talking to. As we've looked, as we started, at our lives and the different areas of our lives where we say, thank God, I'm experiencing your redemption in my family. There's peace, there's joy, there's all of these things. But Father, I'm not experiencing this redemption in my finances. I feel like I'm working hard, but I'm not seeing my fruit, as your word says. Or it may be your health. Father, I'm not seeing your hand. I want us to pray for you today. I want us to zone into these areas. Whatever that area may be, maybe it may be your business. Maybe it may be your marriage. I don't know what it is, you know. I'd like to pray for you today. I'd like us all to pray together as we close. Amen. That God delivers us from unbelief. There are some people where the Lord has blessed them with so much skill and ability, but they don't believe that they are worthy of a certain pay in their lives. There are some people who feel like they are not worthy for healing because I did so many things wrong in the past. We go through these journeys, and this is the enemy holding our belief in Christ in those areas. And today I want to pray into those areas, that they be freedom, that you believe that Christ redeemed you in that area, that it is truly yours in Jesus' name. Can I pray for us? By the authority given to us, believers, and by the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the grave, I say to that unbelief, be cast out in the name of Jesus. As from today, we no longer fellowship with you, unbelief. You get out and you go to the dry patches and you never come again. You will no longer manifest in our lives in Jesus' name. You will no longer manifest in our generations in Jesus' name. We terminate the life of sickness in our lives in Jesus' name. Every spirit of hindrance upon our healing, upon our breakthroughs, upon our relationships, in Jesus' name be cast out. Every knee of infirmity, we say bow down in the name of Jesus. Any power that does not want us to see the promises of God, in Jesus' name you never come back. And I release right now, Father, your promises to come back into the hearts of your children. I pray that faith may come back into the hearts of your children. I pray that belief, Father, may arise again, Father. Believe in Christ in the name of Jesus. Let the past be the past, and let new things come to pass, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let there be a belief again in Christ, again in these areas. Whether it is a belief of marriage, that one day I will marry again. In the name of Jesus, I pray that they believe again. That one day, Father, I'll be okay with my finances. Let it come in the name of Jesus. That one day my relationships with my family, my brothers, my sisters, my aunties, will be reunited and healed again in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that these errors be delivered now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.